third chapter. Let know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, for from such turn away. For of this sort are they which speak into houses and lead captives silly women laden with sin, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now Janus and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The fourth chapter. Third verse. For the time shall come when they shall not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having empty ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, and endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all that also that love his appearance. 14th verse. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his work. Of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. First verse of chapter 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. As we mentioned the other evening, the days in which we're living are indeed perilous times for the unsaved. Perilous times for the unsaved. The unsaved know not which way to turn. Those in authority, they know not what is coming upon them. Catastrophes are taking place throughout the land, not only in this land, but in other places, that are hurling individuals into eternity. And man has no promise of the morrow whatsoever. Indeed, perilous times for the unsaved. I wonder how that affects each one of us here tonight. Are we unsaved? Have we considered the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make us wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus? Paul is bringing before us a picture by the Spirit of God of the days in which we are living, the last of the last days, just as the threshold of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is not bringing a picture before us of heathen China or dark Africa, but he's bringing a picture of Christendom. Of Christendom round about us, where Christ is preached, where we have the Bible, where we can read the Bible without fear or let or hindrance, where we can sit under the sound of the gospel and hear the scriptures which are able to make us wise unto salvation. I'm sure that everyone present has heard the gospel of God's grace over and over again. And perhaps as you sit in your seat tonight, you're still unsaved. Perhaps thinking of that neutral position, not wishing to make a stand in accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, but putting it off for a more convenient season. Dear one tonight, this must be the case. God is warning you. God is warning you. God is speaking to you from His Word. He's bringing before you once again the Holy Scriptures. The Holy Scriptures which are able to make us wise unto salvation. This is not the first time that this portion has been brought before us. Indeed not. But there are those present tonight that as we read in the fourth verse, they're lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. The enemy of your soul, Satan, he will have you occupied with pleasure. With pleasure. And Scripture recognizes pleasure in this world, but they're pleasures of sin for a season. Or are you going on, careless and indifferent as to your eternal soul welfare? For the soul free pleasure that this world has to offer, the pleasures of sin for a season. The pleasures of sin for a season. Moses chose rather to suffer with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Oh, dear one, if that be your case tonight, oh, stop and consider your way. stop and consider that never-ending eternity that faces each one of us. A never-ending eternity. And your eternal portion will be in the glory above, or in the lake of fire which is prepared for the devil and his angels. There is no neutral position. You came into this room unsaved. Or you can go out saved and trusting in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your sins, so great, so many, can be washed away in the precious blood of Christ. But if you go out this room unsaved, careless and indifferent as to your eternal soul's welfare, all remember, you do so at the detriment of your eternal soul's welfare. Eternity where? Oh, eternity where? Is it going to be with Christ in glory? Or is it going to be with beings in despair? Oh, stop, dear one, and consider your way. Fifth verse, having a form of godliness, but denying a part thereof. Did you ever see so much religion as we see in our country today? Go from coast to coast, and you see new church buildings being erected on every hand. Costly buildings. Buildings costing millions of dollars. In fact, one has just been erected in West Los Angeles that cost some $6,500,000 and more. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. You go down into your town of Sully, and you speak to a man, and ask him if he's a Christian. What will the answer be? Nine times out of ten, no, a yes. You think I'm a heathen? Oh, he has a religion. He has a religion, but a religion without Christ. How sad. How sad to see many, many dear souls, not very far from here, having a form of religion, a form of godliness, but a religion without Christ. For such are the characteristics of the days in which our Lord is cast. In view of the blackness, in view of the ever-increasing spiritual darkness that is increasing upon the land and will increase, all there is a bright light for the believer. Greater the darkness, brighter the light. But while this chapter is indeed dark in the beginning, it has a bright ending. There is a bright light, for come what may, many changes taking place politically, socially, and religiously. All the Word of God stands firm. The Word of God is the same. It's just we have the infallible, the unchangeable Word of God. Changes may take place, and we have to admit that we're living in a changing thing. But when it comes to God's Word, we have an unchanging Word, the infallible, the unchanging Word of God, and that especially in the gospel that's before me tonight. There are two men brought before us In the eighth verse, giants and jambres, they, those who withstood Moses in that day referred to when Moses was before Pharaoh in Exodus. Representative here of the satanic powers that we see exhibited throughout the land. And let me say in passing that we are no match for the enemy. We are no match for the enemy, whether we're saved or unsaved. The enemy, in connection with the unsaved, oh, I trust that that work is not going on in the minds of some tonight. But the enemy's word in connection with the unsaved, especially as they sit under the gospel of God's grace, is to blind the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ shine unto them. The enemy is busy in this room tonight, seeking to blind the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. Oh, dear one, you've heard the gospel. You've heard the message over and over again. Do not allow the enemy to rob you of that blessing which God has for you in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's active. Let me repeat, he's here tonight, blinding the minds of them which believe not, that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. Oh, how sad to think that there might be some here tonight unsaved. And will go out of these doors unsaved. And will be blind. That work is going on. Their minds blinded. Blinded by the enemy. And you find yourself in a lost eternity. In a lost eternity. In eternal separation from God and his love. Well, if you go on careless and indifferent in respect to your responsibility towards God, for you are a responsible preacher, God is speaking to you. Yes, God has commanded men everywhere to repent. Why? For he has appointed the day in which you will judge this world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. For all give given assurance unto all, and that is, raised him from among the dead. Raised him from among the dead. All of precious truth for the believer, the resurrection of Christ. For there we're justified from all things, by which the law of Moses could not do. But for the unsaved, the solemn, stern, cold reality of judgment to come. Judgment is God's strange work. Judgment is God's strange work. But if you refuse his love, if you refuse his love, if you despise the goodness of God that leadeth men to repentance, if you trample underfoot the precious blood of Christ, dear soul, you must fall under the judgment of God. The judgment of God. And it's sure. It's sure. But we have here the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. God's word does not change. The principles of God's word do not change. The gospel of God's grace has not been changed, for it is still the same tonight as it was in the days of the early apostles. how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. God in mercy sent his Son to a world by sin undone. Jesus Christ was crucified. Was for sinners, Jesus died. Oh, the glory of his grace, shining in the Savior's face, telling sinners from above, God is light, and God is love. There's two sides to the story. It's all right to speak about God being a loving God. God is love, that's true, but God is light. And you see, that brought before us was the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. There, during those 3 hours of darkness, there, the blessed Lord Jesus Christ was accomplishing that work whereby God could come out and offer salvation full and free, without money and without price, to the poor sinners, such as we this evening. There, that blessed one accomplished that work. He answered once and for all that question of sin before God. The Lord Jesus not only glorified God on the earth, his Father, in every step of the pathway which he took, every step, but there on Calvary's cross, during those 3 hours of darkness, when God closed the scene in darkness, when the occasion was so solemn, there that blessed one unfolded, manifested the heart of God. God is love. But we also see the fact in the suffering which Christ passed through as he bears my sins in his own body on the tree, and your sins, dear fellow believer, when he was made sin for us, the one who knew no sin, when he died the just for the unjust, that we might be brought back to God. God dealt with his dear Son in connection with the question of sin. Yes, with the question of sin. And for God is light. God is light. And God is love. And now, we see that blessed one there on Calvary's cross. We see him accomplishing that work whereby God can come out now and bring blessing to the poor sinner. And the only way in which God can come out in blessing and salvation to the sinner. For man is a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We need a Savior. We cannot save ourselves, regardless of how religious we might be, ever so religious, but that ever religious man, Nicodemus, was given the words by our Lord Jesus Christ. Nicodemus, he must be born again. And how was that to be accomplished? Other than the Lord Jesus Christ going to Calvary's cross. For the Lord Jesus answers the question, how can these things be? By telling him, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You can wait over that verse. God is light. God is light. But now, what was the reason? What was the reason for that? Oh, John 3:16 gives us the answer. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Dear one, remember this. God is light. And sin must be answered. Those sins of yours must be accounted for, either in this the day of God's grace, or in a day to come. Oh, would that you might bow before that blessed one before you leave this room this evening, as a guilty sinner, taking sides with God against self, casting yourself upon his mercy, and accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. 16th verse. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All the scriptures not only bring before us God's way of salvation, but the scriptures bring before us that the mind of God in respect to our pathway through this scene, those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, full provision for the pathway has been made. And again, it's the scriptures. It's the scriptures. And the psalmist could say, of old, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my pathway. They're profitable for doctrine, that is, for teaching, for reproof, all for judging the heart, bringing the heart into the presence of God, speaking to the heart, for correction. Oh, we need correction. The Father with his children, he corrects us. He will not leave us dull, for he that hath commenced this work in our souls will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. For instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Oh, before we go on, let me ask once again, in view of the unsaved presence, allow the scriptures and the power of the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart and conscience. Do not turn a deaf ear to God's word. Do not pass it by. Close in and draw off for salvation ere the day of grace closes. Be found among those who are going on rejoicing in the Lord, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I say, dear unsaved one, allow the word of God. Allow God's word. Do not shut it out. Do not cast it aside. Allow God's word to speak to your heart and to your conscience. For God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then those of us who are the Lord, how good it is for us to allow the word to speak to our heart and to our conscience. The word to speak to our heart as well as our conscience. And allowing the word of God, to form our walking way. For the word brings before us a person, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we should be found walking in his footsteps. We should be found walking in his footsteps the little while that we're left here. To the glory and honor and the praise of that blessed one who loved us and gave himself for us. We say that we're a Christian. We say that we're sheltered under the precious blood of Christ. Oh, how about my walk and my way? How about my walk through this scene? Am I following closely in the footsteps of the blessed Lord? Is he to me the altogether ugly one, the chiefest of 10,000? Oh yes, I say he's precious to me. He's precious to me, but remember, I am precious to him. I am precious to him, for he has bought me with his own precious blood. He has paid the extreme penalty. He has paid the full price for my redemption. And now, while he is precious to me, oh, I am precious to him. And how good it is if we're found then walking, following our blessed Lord, walking in his footsteps, not being turned aside, with our eyes fixed on him, looking all unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the majesty of mine. Oh, how the word to speak to our hearts and to our consciences. Those of us who are believers, we've been called to the obedience of Christ. As Christ obeyed, so we should obey. We should obey at him as we go through this thing. And I believe that that is the happy path. It's a happy path to be following in the footsteps of our blessed Lord, although he be rejected and cast out. Turn to the 10th chapter of John for a verse. Chapter of John, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. You heard, did you hear the shepherd's voice this morning? During the past week, this knew in remembrance of me. Did you hear the shepherd's voice sing? This little in remembrance of me, reminding our poor cold hearts of that which he would have us consider, and that which he would have us to do, for it is his desire that his own should be found, gathered by the Spirit of God around himself, hearing his voice. Hearing his voice, and I like to apply it in that way this evening. His voice, that request, this blue in remembrance of me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Oh, thank God we may deny the Lord Jesus Christ in our walking ways. Our neighbors may not see any difference in it whatsoever, but the shepherd knows us. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. We had before the other evening, we can sing and say, I am his, and he is mine, forever and forever. And they follow me. Oh, that's a further step. My sheep hear my voice. My ear is in tune to the shepherd's voice. I hear his voice. And my feet are in action. My feet are in action. And they followed me. Well, may we be more and more in tune with the thoughts of God, with the Word of God, and that we may be found imitators of God as dear children. Well, in the fourth chapter, we go further. There are those brought before us in the fourth verse. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto stables. Is the Lord Jesus Christ precious to all of us this evening? Is the Lord Jesus Christ precious to all of us this evening? Do we know Him as our Lord and Savior? Do we know Him as the one who is living for us, and the one who is coming for us? Thank God if we do, but beware. There are those that have been turned aside. They have been turned aside. And if you go on refusing the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, the enemy blinding your mind, you're going to be turned aside also from the truth, and you're going to be turned unto fables. And if you look up the various scriptures in Timothy and Peter's epistle, where fables are brought before us, the context is in connection with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is exactly what the enemy is doing today. He's subverting the hearers. He's turning the hearers aside from the truth unto fables. And men or women are going on with fables rather than knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Oh, beware. Beware of the enemy. He takes on the form of a roaring lion in places. As a wily foal on other occasions, and as an angel of light in other occasions. The serpent character, we are no match for him. And you unsaved one, not a match for him. He's all powerful, and he can turn that part of yours away from the truth and have you occupied with fables. Fables, rather than knowing a person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the knowledge of Him as Savior, the knowledge of the fact that you'll spend your eternity in the glory above, with Him and like Him. Oh, turning aside unto fables and then to an endless eternity, endless woe, where there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Paul could say in the sixth verse, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them also that love is appearing. 14th verse. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his work. We turn to another scripture, will not take time. Alexander and another person, I've just forgotten his name, were two that the apostle delivered unto Satan that they might not blaspheme. The apostle used his apostolic authority. And I take from this 14th verse that Alexander, the coppersmith, did not bow to the authority of the apostle. That authority that was given to the apostle by the Lord. And as a result, he was a very dangerous man, and he did, the apostle brought much evil upon the apostle Paul. And the apostle said, the Lord reward him according to his works. Well, I believe there's a word in that for us also, as saints. Well, let us submit one to another. Let us be humble. Let us go on growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if by necessity the discipline is necessary, oh, let us humble ourselves under the hand of God, for it is meant for our good. The Lord has allowed it to take place as a father with his child, and he will give us grace to bear. He's with us. The Lord has allowed the trial, the difficulty, whatever it may be, and he's with us in it to encourage and strengthen and keep us in the path. Now notice the 17th verse. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Oh, Paul referring now to some of his own trials, his suffering, the persecutions which he passed through. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. All we have in this chapter, while there are those that are turning aside from the truth, turning unto fables, and others that are bringing persecution upon the Apostle Paul, yet Paul would say, as he does in the first chapter, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And here the apostle brings before us the keeping and delivering power of God in connection with his own, all the way through this thing. All the way through this thing. Oh, how good it is to know that we're in his hands, and that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. But you say, I thought the Apostle Paul was martyred. He was. He was. He was martyred for his faithfulness in preaching the gospel of God's grace. He was faithful in preaching the truth as he received it by revelation from an ascended Christ. He was martyred. But you'll notice in this 18th verse, the Lord shall deliver me from evil, every evil work. Paul, an elderly man at this time, rejoicing in the Lord, he could lay all aside, and he could use martyrdom in this respect of deliverance, martyrdom as a servant that brought him into the presence of his blessed Lord. How could it be an evil work if being martyred? Oh, that was martyrdom, was only a service to bring him into the one that he learned to love. The one whom he could say in writing to the saints of Galatia, the one who loved me and gave himself for me. And for the believer today, come what may, whether we pass through the article of death, it's all, death is only a servant to bring us into the presence of the Lord. Only a servant to bring us into the presence of the Lord, to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. And as Paul says in another place, to depart and to be with Christ, which is very far better. That's the believer's portion. On the other hand, the Lord Jesus Christ may come tonight before the sun rises on the coming day. before the sun rises from the coming day, before the close of this meeting, to receive unto himself his own. Oh, we are all not going to pass into death. We're not all going to die. Indeed not. The believer is not looking forward to death. No, he's waiting. He's watching for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. On the other hand, he should tarry, and there's only one reason why the Lord Jesus has not come before this, and that is in view of the unsaved, boy or girl, man or woman, in this audience tonight and in other places. Just one reason, for just as soon as God's house is full, and perhaps tonight that last guest will press in, then the coming of the Lord will take place, and the gospel of God's grace will no longer be sounded out. No, indeed not. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Oh, how sad for the end of the unbeliever, and especially those who sat under the sound of the word over and over again, at that moment when he comes. Oh, to be left here in their sins, and then in the day to come to appear before him at the great white throne judgment, to hear those words from his blessed lips, "Depart from me, I never knew you. Depart from me, I never knew you." And then to spend your endless eternity in the lake of fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels. All beware. These things are real. God is in earnest tonight about that immortal soul of yours. God is in earnest tonight. Oh, will you not be in earnest? Will you not heed the warning and come to the Savior? As we often sing, "Come to the Savior, make no delay. Here in his word he's shown us the way." Oh yes, come, do not delay. "The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Oh, what is the bright light in the first chapter, as we mentioned? Oh, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second chapter, when the very foundations of Christianity are being attacked. Oh, we have the confidence of the assurance and the promises all being fulfilled through Jesus Christ raised from among the dead of the seed of David. And in the third chapter, the picture is darker and darker still, but we have the person of Christ brought before us together with the scriptures, the infallible, unchangeable word of God. And in the fourth chapter, all is the Lord's keeping and delivering power for his own all through this season. Oh, what a Savior is Jesus the Lord. Well may his name by his sake be adorned. Oh, in closing, once again, dear unsaved ones, come to the Savior. Do not leave this room without acknowledging the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. For this may be your last opportunity of sitting under the sound of the word. You know not what tomorrow has in store for you. I do not know what 1 hour may bring forth. My dear father and mother were on a trip. Father was in good health and strength. You're in the city of Winnipeg, Canada. My father placed my mother on the bench with all the baggage and packages. And he went over to the ticket office, ticket ticket, to pick up his reservation. Got up to the wicket, put his hand in his pocket to pull out his wallet, and slumped to the floor. A dead man. A dead man. Not a moment's warning. Not one moment of warning. But as he slumped to the floor, lay there, of course. Ah, for him, it was absent from the body and present with the Lord. Supposing that took place with you tonight, dear one. And it's not the ages, nor the middle age, that are passing away that way. I can give you instance after instance of the young passing away in the same manner. Not one moment's notice, nor warning. One moment in perfect health and strength. Well, the next moment, of course. Oh, if that could overtake you tonight, where would you spend your eternity, dear boy or dear girl? Oh, leave this room with the assurance that if the Lord should come this very moment, that you will be among the number that will be caught up to meet him in the air, to be forever with the Lord. Or, on the other hand, if death should come in, if the Lord sees fit to take you home, to take you out of this thing, to the article of death, all that it might be, absent from the body, then present with the Lord.